Okay, Rabbi, so I wanted to talk about life-saving on Shabbos, Pikuach Nefesh. And we begin with the sugya in Masechta Yuma. The Gemara tells us at the end of Masechta Yuma that for any number of a variety of reasons, we would be Machal Shabbos in order to save life. Minayin lepikuach nefesh shedoche es haShabbos. And at the end of the sugya, the Gemara gives the famous explanation of Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. He says, "V'shamru bnei Yisrael haShabbos." This you'll see in the middle of your page. Amra Torah chalel alav Shabbos achas kidei sheyishmar Shabbosos harbe. I would reformulate, if I could, the statement of Rabbi Shimon in the following way. There's a balance here. We have to weigh on the scales one Shabbos against many Shabbosos. Obviously, many Shabbosos outweigh one single Shabbos. In other words, what we're doing here is, according to Rabbi Shimon, is we're finding a specific rule, a specific law, that explains why in the case of Shabbos we should violate the Shabbos for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh. And I'm not sure that we can take this rule and necessarily universalize it. I don't know if we could say that we can violate some sort of an issue or an isur for the sake of the future, you know, protection of the law. Let's say we'll let him eat nevela now, so that in the future he'll survive and he won't eat nevela. I don't think we can say such a thing, because only in Shabbos we can take this one Shabbos that we're going to violate now, and we're going to compare it and weigh it up against all the Shabbosos in the future that he will be in observing. He will observe, and it's worth it for us to give up a short term loss for a long term gain. The benefits outweigh the deficits. I would like to make two comments here. Maybe number one, in the case of a guy, the reason why we would not violate Shabbos for a guy, again, I'm not talking about Eva now, but leaving out Eva, just the Iker Din Doraisa, is because even in the case of a Jew, we're not really violating a Shabbos for the sake of saving a Jewish life. We're only violating the Shabbos for the sake of Shabbos, if you follow me. A guy doesn't have Shabbos, and therefore we would not violate the Shabbos to save the life of a guy. The second point I wanted to make is, does every Jew get included under this principle of Reb Shimon? For example, what happens if we have a Jew that we can extend his life for another few days, but he will not be able to observe any Shabbos? You know, you can save his life, and the doctors say maybe he can survive another day, another 2 days, another 3 days, maybe even 6 days, but that's about it. Or even if he survives till the next Shabbos, he won't be capable of observing the Shabbos. Let's say, for example, we're saving a life, but unfortunately our patient will not be able to think and have a lucid mind. What would be in the case, according to Rav Shimon, of saving the life of a non-religious Jew? Do we have a right to say, well, in the future he will be religious? You know, he's a potential Baal Tshuva. Or shall we say, no, you know, we have no reason to believe that he will, you know, Chazok HaHashta, the situation today tells me that he will not observe the Shabbos. So why should I violate the Shabbos for the sake of a future that doesn't lead to any other observances of Shabbos? Shmuel, however, offers the reason that we're most familiar with, and it's an absolute reason, v'chai bohem v'lo sheyomos bohem, meaning, with the exception of three averos, we always apply the principle of pikuach nefesh, and pikuach nefesh is doche Shabbos, just like it's doche all other isurim. If we take Shmuel's approach, then there's no reason to make any exceptions in the case of someone who won't observe the Shabbos, chas v'shalom, in the future, he's not well enough to do so. It's an absolute rule that we override the Shabbos for the sake of pikuach nefesh. And that's called v'chai bohem v'lo sheyomos bohem. An interesting question arises. Yeah, Gadan?
if I need to violate two Shabbos for him to be able to keep 50 Shabbos.
Okay. Yeah, it seems that the Gemara is only addressing a simple case. You're asking about, what about a more complicated case? Can we calculate, you know, many Shabbosim against a whole bunch of Shabbosim, Ira?
And another Barsof.
Yeah, I agree with what Dan is saying. I've always found the concept extremely bizarre because we don't usually look at, seriously, we don't usually look at the outcome. And you could say this about many things. Maybe I should be non-kosher today because I'll be kosher the rest of my life. Maybe I should violate this. You can make a lot of hashbonos when you go down that path. And I always found it weird. I mean, I know it's in the Gemara. I always found it weird that it's like you can violate something now for a benefit down the road.
Well, Ira, just I want to make two points. First of all, the sheet of Rabbi Shimon is very foreign to us because we adopt the position of Shmuel. So la halacha, the principle goes pikuach nefesh, and that's it. The second point I wanted to make is that in your case of, well, let him eat non-kosher so in the future he'll observe kosher, that's not really what Rav Shimon is talking about. He's not talking about observing kashrus in the future. He's talking about creating an entity called Shabbos, meaning there are two dimensions to Shabbos, and we'll see it in this week's parasha of Mirtz Hashem. We have, first of all, Zohar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, and then we have Lo Sasu Ko Melacha. From the perspective of Lo Sasu Ko Melacha, you're right. I don't know if I can violate one Melacha for the sake of non-violation of many Melachas, but Shabbos has a positive dimension to it. And therefore, we can create Shabbos. Now, when I say a positive dimension, I'm not just limiting myself to Zohar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, meaning Kiddush, Aliyayin, or whatever it might be. But if I abstain, if I see to it that I don't violate any of the malachas of Shabbos, I have created an entity called Kedusha Shabbos. And that observance of Kedusha Shabbos, which is the ultimate of Shmira Shabbos, that's the ultimate result, that itself is an entity. But if a person observes kashrus laws and prevents himself from eating, you know, non-kosher food, I don't know if that creates any sort of entity that I could weigh on the scale. So I'm just saying, Ira, you may be right in principle, but you'd have to find a better scenario, a better case to put forward your argument against Rabbi Shimon. What I would like to do with you today is try to understand how this principle of saving lives on Shabbos, even if it means violating the Shabbos, how does it express itself in reality, meaning in practical terms. What am I allowed to do for the sake of a choleh? Should I, for example, try to avoid Chil Shabbos as much as I can? Maybe ask a guy to do it for me on Shabbos? Should I, let's say, for example, I work as a physician in a firm. You know, I have a partnership with other physicians. Should I simply tell the other physicians in my firm, I'm out on Shabbos? You know, I'm not giving out my number. You know, I'm out of commission. Don't even bother. Or on the other hand, should a physician, since he's in a very, you know, particular life-saving situation, meaning, you know, he has the tools to save lives, maybe even when it comes to Shabbos, he should try to present himself, make himself as accessible as possible on Shabbos. This could be relevant not only to the case of a partnership, where I have many doctors in the firm. It could also be related to where the doctor should live, or at least where he should be on Shabbosim. Maybe we should ask the doctor, insofar as he's accessible for violating the Shabbos to save lives, that he take a hotel room or buy an apartment next door to a hospital so that he doesn't have to drive his car to the hospital or take an ambulance to the hospital. In the case of a pregnant woman, where there's a good chance that she'll have to give birth on Shabbos, maybe she should be encouraged to take up residence right next door to the hospital. And it's very interesting that if you take a look at this Gemara that we're studying now, the Gemara tells us in Yuma Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis, which you'll see on the bottom of your page, that Safek Nefashos Doches HaShabbos, it doesn't have to be a situation where it's definite that our patient will die, even if there's a doubt about it, But what's more important to me is the next line of the Gemara. The Gemara says that when it comes to violating the Shabbos, ein osim dvarim halalu lo al yidei nachrim v'lo al yidei kusim ela al yidei gedolei Yisrael. Let's not offer the guy to do the job. Let's not even give it to the kusi. He has a suffix in terms of his status. Let's not even let a regular rank and file citizen of the Jewish nation violate the Shabbos. Let's do it through the Gedolei Yisrael. And Ein Omer, he says, Yasud Var Malalu, I'll pi Noshim, I'll pi Kusim, you know, get myself a woman to violate the Shabbos. None of that makes any sense. But rather, we have to do it with Gedolei Yisrael. Then the Gemara goes on to say, Aval mitzarfin l'das acheres. Okay, we're going to have to see exactly what that means as we go along. So again, we're talking about getting the Gedolei Yisrael to do this and violate the Shabbos. However, before we get to see the Shulchan Aruch and see if he codifies this, because it's not enough, if I want to get to some practical conclusions, it's not enough to just quote a sugya in Shas. But before that, I do want to quote a Yerushalmi, which you'll see on page 2. And you'll see that the Yerushalmi says three things. Hazariz Mishubach. You know, one who jumps up and does this with a great deal of alacrity immediately, you know, he deserves to be praised. Hanishal Meguna. Okay, we don't know what that means. Hashoel, the one who asks the question, he comes to the rabbi and he says, what do I do? Should I violate the Shabbos? Is Hareze Shofech Damim. That's a pretty heavy accusation. In other words, every minute is critical, is urgent, and delaying by coming to ask the question is itself something that should be avoided. We'll see that the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch say that Hanishal, if you take a look on the top left of your page, that Karban Eda says, Shahayelo Lidrosh Dvarim Eil Barabim. If this Talmud Chacham is being asked this question, it means that he was derelict in teaching his flock that with immediacy they should know they have to violate the Shabbos, and therefore he should have been Doresh Dvarim Eil Barabim Sheyedu Ha'am Kodem Maisa. Now, obviously, Rabosai, we're talking about the greatest, most supreme ideal in Halach, and that is human life. Human life is critical. It's supreme. It is what everything in Halach is all about. V'chai bohem. I remember the Rebbe once told us a story that he was told later on by his father, because he was too young to remember the story. He was a baby, and he came down with extremely high fever. And in those days, they used to have lanterns, you know, those kind of, instead of electric lights, you know. So the doctor came to see the baby, little Yashaber, and he was in the house of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And at that time, Rav Chaim was there in the house, visiting with the family. The physician said to Rav Moshe, the light is bothering the baby's eyes. Please turn it down. And Rav Moshe started shaking. It was Shabbos, and he didn't want to turn down the light on Shabbos. So his father, Rav Chaim, picked up his foot, slammed it down on the table, and said to him, to his own son, "Du bist in Amoretz, du bist." Okay, he didn't want to call him a Shofech Damim. Now, the truth of the matter is, my Rebbe in his writings always speaks about the fact that in Halacha, we have a central concept called Kedushas HaChayim, the holiness of life. It's such a central concept that it overrides all the mitzvahs of the Torah, again, except for the three cardinal sins, because that's already a different Halacha of Avas Hashem. But other than that, without those, it's Chayim, it's life. And it makes sense to me that if somebody is out there as a leader of Klal Yisrael, he should be teaching what underlies, perhaps the most fundamental principle that underlies the halacha, all of the halacha, and namely the significance of life. And therefore he should be teaching publicly. We should have banners, you know, all over the place, that we violate the Shabbos for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh, and we're proud of it. It's Agdoli Yisrael who are the ones that are going to jump up and call Azariz Hareza Meshubach. If he's a Nishal, if people are knocking on his door, hey, what should I do, Rabbi? It's Shabbos. You know, I'm sittering. I can't turn down the lights on Shabbos. Then he, as a teacher of Israel, has not done his job. Now, if you turn to page 4, let's see how the Shulchan Aruch codifies this in Hilchas Shabbos. And he says the following. This is Siman Shin Chof Ches. And he says in Sif Beis, Mishieshlo Choli Shel Sakana Mitzvah L'Chalel Olavas HaShabbos. Very strong language. We're talking about a mitzvah here. Hatzolos Nefash is one of the greatest mitzvahs in the Torah. Vazoriz Hareza Meshubach. Vashoel Hareza Shofech Domin. Interesting that he omitted Beintayim. We see that he omitted the middle case of Anishal Hareza Meguna. But there's no doubt in my mind that he is codifying the Yushalmi. And he goes beyond. If you take a look at Se'if Yud Beis, he writes, Kishemechalim Mechalim Shabbos Al Cholash Yesh Bo Sakana Mishtadlim Shalo Lasos Al Yidei Enom Yehudim Uktanim V'Noshim Ela Al Yidei Yisrael Gdolim U'Bnei Das. So I'm not sure in the original Lashon of the Shas that we started with in Yuma, it says Al Yidei Gdolei Yisrael. In the case of the Shulchan Aruch, he writes Al Yidei Yisrael Gdolim. It doesn't have Gdolei Yisrael, but Yisrael Gdolim. I'm not sure. It could be that what the Shulchan Aruch means is let's avoid Ktanim, let's do it with Gdolim who are past the age of Bar Mitzvah. I don't know if he would require the Gedol Yisrael. In any event, if you take a look in the...
Don't go and look for a Gedol Yisrael.
Yeah, that's right, that's for sure. But the question is, how do we prepare, you know, for this occasion, in case it happens? And if you take a quick peek at the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat on Vav, which you'll see on the... you'll see it on the top of your page, he writes... Hashoel, he says, Oso ha'isha mischased v'yorei l'chal Shabbos. A person is such a pious person that, you know, the last thing in the world he could imagine doing is, you know, violating the Shabbos. So he starts getting pretty nervous about it. V'yorei l'chal Shabbos ki ima yidei mora. He says, I need a Rebbe. I need a Mora Hora to give me a psak. You know, it's like he's going to wait online to get his lulav checked, you know, to make sure his lulav is kosher. Okay, that I don't mind. But to wait online for the Mora Hora to decide whether or not we should violate the Shabbos, he says, Ayri b'choli kazeh reyu shofech damin, sheba'odshu holech lishol, yechlash hachole yoser. Interesting. When the Mishnah Berurah wants to justify the urgency to avoid even asking a shaila to a chacham, he says because in that loss of time, it could be that the chole will become weaker. Again, he's not going to die immediately, but yuchal listaken, it might lead him to becoming a chole sheyesh bo sakana mamish, meaning immediately there will be a sakana. Hanishal Arezim Agunish Tamid Chacham. Here's the carbonator that we saw. Hayelo Lidro, she sort of publicized this halacha. Kedesha Yedu Kulam Velo Yitztachu L'Sholo Od. That's why I think that this topic should be discussed and should be studied over and over again. And there's no, you know, Mea Palma Viachas, there's no boredom here with review, because it's so critical that we have to know these halachas. Now, what we want to look at is, in order to get an understanding of this halacha, is a Gemara in Yuma, which you'll see towards the bottom of page 2, and that's a Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Gimel, and this is a very famous brisa called Misha Achzar Bulmus. Now, Rashi says that bulmus is a choli ha'ochez machmas ravon enov keos v'hu mesukan lamus. He says that you can look at his eyes and you can tell that as a result of this situation, I guess he hasn't eaten properly, he's ravon, he's starving, he's a choli mesukan, he is in danger of losing his life. And when his eyesight sort of improves again, when he gets back his re'iyah, then we know that he's nisrape. Now what do we do for the sake of this person who's achazo bulmus? So the Mishnah says, machilin oso afilu dvarim tmeim, you can give him iser, non-kosher food, achie oru enom, until his eyes again become lit up. And in the Brice it says, Machilin oso hakal kal. Now, what this means is that, let's say, for example, you can't give him kosher food. That's not available, or the volume of kosher food is not enough. Now you have an assortment of non-kosher foods, of macholos asuros. And what do you have in front of you? You've got tevel, and you've got nevela. Tevel is an iser chamur, it's a chiyuv misa bidei shamayim. Nevela is a rank and file iser lav, it's only an iser lav. So the Brisa advocates that, assuming there's no difference in terms of his health, then we will prefer to feed him nevela rather than feed him tevel. That's what it says over here. Now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Machilin oso kal kal im ein lanu dvarim mutarim kedei tzarko v'yesh lefanenu mine isurim machilin oso hakal kal shebahem." Okay. So now, Rabosai, this is very interesting because it seems that if I have a choice within the context of Hatzolos Nefashos of two Isurim, I should, as a general rule, I should choose the lesser of the violations. And this leads us to a fundamental kasha of the Rishonim, which you'll see on page 3 in the name of the Rosh, and the Ran in the name of the Ravid. But they're both asking the same question. What is the question? This question was originally asked to the Ravid. You have a chole on Shabbos, and we have to feed him because otherwise he might die. So the law should be, as we saw in the case of Achzo Bulmus, Machilin oso kal kal. We should violate the lesser Isur rather than the more severe Isur. So the question was asked to the Ravid. Misha yeshlo, chol sheyeshlo bo sakana v'im lo yochal basar, if he doesn't eat meat, he'll die. Im yeshlo fun of, he has in front of him nevela. So there's basar nevela. And there's a possibility of shechting an animal and feeding him kosher food. Should we prefer to shecht the animal on Shabbos, or should we feed him nevela? That's the question that's asked here to the Ravid, as quoted by the Rosh. You'll see the same question in the Ran at the beginning of the wide lines. V'nishal ha-Ravidzal im hoya cholos yesh bo sakana v'tzarech lishchot lo tarnegoles lo lo nomar l'nachri. Okay, that's number one. Let's tell a guy to shecht the animal. Now, of course, a guy can't shecht an animal. That's called in halacha nechira. Nechiras mean when you poke the animal until it dies. But nachilenu nevela. Why? Why did the Shoel think that it's better to feed him nevela? She'ein bo ela iser lav v'lo nishchot v'nidche Shabbos she'esh bo iser skila. So again, we have two, shall we say, versions or formulations of the question that was asked to the Ravid. According to the Rush, The question that was asked to the Ravid is, "Im yesh lefaneinu nevela?" We have nevela in front of us, and therefore there's no problem if there's an urgent need to feed a meat. We've got nevela right here on the table. Why should we shecht a cow? According to the Ran's version of the question that was asked to the Ravid, we have two options. We can either have a Jew shecht a cow, or we could have the guy do what's called Nechira, and then we'll feed the Yisrael Nevela. And the Shoel thought that in both cases we should go down the Nevela line of reasoning. That should be our preference, because Nevela, relative to Shechit on Shabbos, is a lower Iser. It's only an Iser Lav, where Shechit on Shabbos is an Iser Karis. Now, both sides, what we'd like to do... Yeah, go ahead. Joe?
It's not a question that the nevela is right here in front of us. It's a faster issue.
So again, you know, in the case of the question that was asked to the Ravid, as the Rush formulates it, the nevela was here. Meaning,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, in other words, that there's no element here of time differential. Meaning, if you want to hesitate, and if you're inhibited about feeding nevela, and we'll have to see why we should be inhibited about feeding the chol and nevela, then don't worry about the time factor. The time factor is not an issue, because the nevela is right here b'faneinu. So that's not an issue.
No, I'm saying from the side that the shechting is going to be hesitating. You have to shecht.
That might take time. Okay, you're right. If the shechita will take more time, and there's an urgency here that doesn't allow any sort of time delay, then there's no question about it. In such a case, we're going to feed him whatever we have. Just grab whatever we have. That's for sure. So again, pikuach nefesh and expanding the possibility of saving the life, that's always going to be the first consideration. However, let's assume that there's no expediency issue here as far as the time element is concerned. Shava b'shava, everything is equal. We have the nevela right here. We don't have to run around and look for nevela. We have the shochet right in front of us. He can shecht the animal. And given the fact that the physicians give him a certain time period where there's no sakonis nefash, everything is okay. So again, Rabosai, based on the sugi that we've seen of machilin osoa kal in the case of bulmus, what would be your intuition? What should we be doing in the case of a chol sheish bo sakana? Shechita or feeding him the vela? What would be your gut reaction?
Afterwards anyway.
All right, you guys are such chachamim. You're already thinking of all the... I want you to give me the wrong answer. You know, that's the right answer now is the wrong answer. What would be your intuition?
Nevela.
Okay, thanks. You know, you're a nice guy, Bobby. You had Rahman or something. But he knows that the answer is not correct, but he knows that that's the answer that I wanted, and that's the correct answer, but it's the incorrect answer. Okay. So basically, what we want to do now is we want to analyze four different answers to this question. And since the question was asked to the Ravid, let's begin with the Ravid's answer, because he was the one who was asked the question. Okay. So the Ravid says the following. Okay, now you gotta brace yourself. This is very complicated. The Ravid says, Ha'iser ha'omed lifnei achole ume'akvo. In other words, where's the barrier here? What is the Iser that is giving us problems as far as this chol is concerned? Hu Iser Shabbos, the low Iser Nevela. Nevela is not giving us any problems. There's no reason to say that what's on the table here, what we have to determine is the Iser Nevela. Why? Because let's say all things were equal. Forget about Shabbos, he's saying. And let's say you had a chole and you wanted to feed him meat in order to save his life. He says, Ilu lo haya ka'e Shabbos, if it wasn't Shabbos, lo yu matir lo nevela. We're not going to override nevela. Ela machilin oso shchuta. Again, keep in mind that there's no time element here. That variable doesn't exist. So we got plenty of time over here. The shochet is right here, ready to shech the animal. He says, tell him to shech the animal. That's exactly what we have to do. There's no pikuach nefesh to be doche nevela. If the shochet is right here, we can shech the animal. Narvas, it's Shabbos. Today is Shabbos. So the problem here is not nevela. The problem is Shabbos. The barrier here that's preventing us from saving his life, you know, if not for pikuach nefesh doche Shabbos, doche kol tarkua, would be Shabbos. V'lachem b'Shabbos hutra shchita mishum pikuach nefesh, but nevela lo hutra. The afil b'yom chol came on the efsha b'shchuta lo nidche isu nevela. Very abstract analysis of the Raavad. Some of the other answers to this problem are much simpler. The Raavad basically is looking for what I call confrontation. In other words, the law of dechia, that for the sake of X, we're going to override Y, only applies when there's confrontation. Confrontation means that there's something preventing me from achieving my goal. In this case, my goal, of course, is to save a life. The prevention is coming, the barrier is some sort of an isur. Says the Raavad, that if you want to know what to do in this case, there's this active agent that's called Dechia. Now determine where is the confrontation, where's the barrier, which Isur is preventing me from achieving my objective of Atzos Nefashas. After you isolate that Isur, then and only then can you activate the principle of Dechia. That's the premise of the Raavad. That's premise number one, which itself is a mouthful. Then the Raavad has premise number two. And he says that the Isur Nevela is not a barrier. There's no reason why we have to see Nevela as preventing us from saving a life. We don't have to violate the Isur Nevela to save a life. We just have to shech the animal. And that would apply even during the week. So we would never feed a chole nevela if there was a possibility of shechita. So let's call a spade, says the Raavad. In Hilchas Dechia, we don't have any halacha of being doche nevela. Nevela is not a problem over here. I can have my cake and eat it. I can observe the law of nevela on behalf of this chole, and at the same time I can save his life. What's the cause of Ashlishi? Shechita. Ah, says the Raavad, premise number three, therefore, is perhaps the conclusion of A and B, is that the barrier here, the Isur that needs to be overridden here because of the laws of Dechia, the confrontation is Shabbos. Because here we have a problem. You're telling me that if all things were equal, in order to save this life, we would shecht the animal. There's no reason to violate Nevela. Nevela is not an issue. We have the option of Shechita. Ah, there's no option of Shechita. Why? Because that's one of the Lamed Tes Melachos. Says the Raavad, if the barrier, the anti-force, right, the antithesis of Hatzolos Nefashos is Shabbos, then that's where the laws of Dechia kick in. And that's where we override the Isur. We override the Isur by overriding the Shabbos. Now you and I would have said, poof, I can't. Why not say the exact opposite of the Raavad? Why not say that since I have an option of saving his life without violating Shechita, so why should I be Doche Shabbos? No, the Raavad says there's no problem. I don't mind being Doche Shabbos as long as I can prove that it's the Shabbos that creates the problem. Had it not been Shabbos, I could have easily have solved this problem. The Easter Shabbos is the barrier, and therefore the Dechia comes and tells me to override the Shabbos. An amazing mechanics of the Raavad. Bobby?
Isn't it a question of whether it's Hutra?
So that we're going to get to in a minute. You know, you're already stealing the show here. That's good.
No, but even in the Raavad, is that not his point? That
Dafka Hutra, not Dechuya, you mean?
There's no Shabbos, so the Shkita is no problem. There's still an Isser Nevela, but now...
Are you arguing against the Ravid from Hutra, or are you supporting the Ravid with Hutra? That's
I'm asking, is that what he's saying?
But again, Nochamo, I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. Is the Ravid's logic, the mechanics of the Ravid, predicated on Hutra or Pumfaket?
Right.
Hutra would be the antithesis of the Ravid.
I was thinking that the Ravid would say Hutra.
Hutra.
That's why.
So again, you might be right, Bobby, that Hutra is going to come into the picture here. But I think you'd be jumping the gun if you mentioned Hutra here, because I think first of all you have to set up the mechanics here. Of Dechia meaning, you know, I have a choice of doing one thing or the other, I can't do both. Where's the Dechia in the sense of Efshel Kayim Shneim? With regard to Nevela, it's Efshel Kayim Shneim. With regard to Shabbos, he's holding, it's Efshel Kayim Shneim. The Torah would say, on the normal conditions, had it not been Shabbos, you have an option. You don't have to violate Nevela. But in Shabbos, you're going to have to violate Shchuta. You have no other option if you want to save this individual's life. Why? Because the normal mechanics by which the Torah would require to save his life is through Shechita. Here, the Torah is saying, because of Shabbos, there is no Heter Shechita. Oh, on that, there's Halach of Dechia. Then I think, Bobby, we can maybe go a step further and say that the Ravid would hold, no, why do you have to shech the animal? Why not just feed him the vela? And here's where Hutra could come into the picture. But I think Hutra should come later rather than earlier. Let's see if we could fit in another three answers to this question, and then we'll try to summarize some of the practical implications. La'alocha. The Rush himself offers another answer. And he says the following. And some of you may find this anticlimactic, as I did, I don't know. He says that there's a chance here, we can't take the chance by feeding him the vela. Why? Because I'm going to use my language here, he's going to regurgitate. In the language of the Rush, he says, Shema hachole yakutz ba'achilas nevela. He just can't tolerate nevela. I was thinking that maybe according to the Rush we could withhold the information from him, and you know, we could tell him that the Rush is worried about his being repulsed by eating the vela, the chola. So I'm just saying, maybe we could withhold the information, don't tell him it's the vela. I doubt it, unless he's a real tzaddik, you know, like Reb Chaim Tzanzer or somebody holy like that. I don't know if he'll ever know the difference between the vela and shchuta. All right. The Ran offers what I think to be the most logical answer. And he says the following. The Shoel is working with a mistaken premise. Namely, that when we compare Nevela to Shchuta, right, Nevela as an Isser Nevela and Shchita as an Isser Melech HaShabbos, that no doubt that Nevela is an Isser Kal vis-a-vis Shechita, which is an Isser Chomor. Says the Ran, Pumfaket. The exact opposite is the case. Why? Because in the case of Isser Nevela, presumably, we're going to have to feed him more than just one Kizayis to save his life. Again, that's a premise. And every Kizayis itself is an Isser unto itself. Shchut, on the other hand, although obviously it's a more chomerdika Isser, but it's a one-time Isser. So you violate the one-time Isser, and that is much lighter in comparison to the other side of the scale, namely the violation of an Isser Nevela multiple times at every single Kizayis. Yeah, David?
So you're saying the sum total of all the Malkasim is greater than one Chiyum Isser.
Correct.
So what's the shear of 5 or 4 or 10 or 50? What's it? How much do you need to actually over?
I don't know. I would my impression, David, is to say that even two kizesim of nevela is more chomer of an iser than one shechita. That's my impression. But you're right. He only uses the term al kol kizayis u kizayis. He doesn't tell you at what point. How do you weigh this all? So the truth is,
why don't you say that you're only? It's not a question of misa, because it's.
I'm still here, Joe. I'm not going anywhere.
Okay. Because the chi of misa is gone. It's not there. It's only a question of what we're putting off. It's not the strength of what the Yisr is. It's just how many Yisr we're doing. Obviously, you're not chayav misa for either one of the things. So it's just a question of how many Yisrim you're locking.
But again, are you agreeing with the Ryan or are you disagreeing with the Ryan? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with the Ryan. I know. I'm saying David's problem that it's the chayav misa. I'm saying the concept of a misa is gone. We say that he can do. There's no conception of misa.
No. Joe, I don't know if we're on the same page here. The misa is just a way of gauging the chumras avera.
I understand. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Because the misa, because he's not, that gauge is off. Because he's not chayav misa.
No. We're looking at the Easter in abstract terms. When you're setting up a hierarchy of averos shel Torah, we're not talking about a particular situation. We want to know in abstract terms the very fact that the Torah, under certain circumstances, got to be Eidim, Hasra, Mezid, the whole nine yards. But the Torah says that Shechita on Shabbos incurs a Chiyuv Misa. Nevela would never ever, generate a Chiyuv Misa. That proves in the abstract constellation of Isurim that certainly Shabbos is at the pinnacle, whereas Nevela is really low down on the totem pole. That's for sure. The fact that here in this case he's not Chayv Misa, that's not relevant to our discussion.
See, that's what the Ran is emphasizing.
No, the Ran is emphasizing that
Misa is completely gone. So the gauge is not there. Okay, continue.
No, the Ran is saying that multiple averos, again, we're not talking about the Chiyuv Gavra, we're talking about how do we, in abstract, let's say for example you had two people. One person violated Shabbos deliberately, and the other person ate Nevela deliberately. Who is more of a violator? Who's doing more averos chamuros?
Because of that's a violation. I understand.
So that already gives me a barometer to determine, says the Ran, what to do in the case of a chola. Once I look out at the kal, or the chomer versus kal, that's what's going to determine it. And he says that it's more chomer to eat nevela multiple times than to violate the Shabbos with one action. That leads us to the Maram Mirutenberg, who's quoted here by the Rosh. Says the Maram Mirutenberg that, and this is what Bobby was talking about before, that Shabbos is hutra eitzel pikuach nefesh. Not dechuya, but hutra. So the Beis Yosef, which you'll see on the bottom of your page, quotes the Rashba. And the Rashba tries to explain what does the Maram Mirutenberg have in mind. Says the Rashba, with regard to the question that was raised in front of, addressed to the Ravid, Tolui, meaning this Sha'ela, this question is Tolui v'machlokes, Ha'im Shabbos Hutra o Dechuya Eitzel Chole. Di'im Nomar Hutra Shochtim. Avolamandi Omar Dechuya Machilin Oso Nevela. Velo Navar Al Shchita Kevon Shiesh Lonu Basar Velo Navar Al Shabbos V'Nidches HaShabbos. The premise here, in terms of the reality, is that he's got two options. He's got the option of feeding him nevela, without violating Nisa Shechita, or the option of Shechting. Now, if you hold Hutra, then what's your hesitation? Just shech the cow. It's Hutra anyway. Maybe, Joe, this would be in line with what you were saying before. I don't know. But if, on the other hand, you hold the Chuya, then we're not going to go with the Ran's approach that, you know, Nevela is more Chamur because every Kezias is a separate violation. We're going to reject that. And we're going to simply say that Nevela, no matter how many times you implement that Lav and that Iser Nevela, it's only sizes up to an Iser Lav. That's Kal vis-a-vis violating the Shabbos, which is an Iser Chomer, it's an Iser Misa. So now we apply the mechanics of Dechuya, and Dechuya tells me Hakal Kal Tchila. If, however, we would apply the principle of Hutra, then we don't have to be inhibited by the fact that, well, why not just feed him the Vela? We should not shech the cow because that's an Iser Chamur. I don't even have to enter into this question of what's an Iser Chamur and what's an Iser Kal. That's totally irrelevant because it's Hutra. Now, I just want to make one comment, and please set me straight if I'm wrong about this. I don't see, neither in the Maram Mi-Rutenberg, nor in the explanation of the Rashba of the Maram Mi-Rutenberg, an answer to the following question. Why do you choose to shech the animal? Why do you prefer that method rather than feeding him the Vela? Tell me that it's Hutra. So what if it's Hutra? Even if it's Hutra, I've got two options. Why should I choose the option of shechting and ignore the option of feeding him the Vela? I don't get it. What do you say, David?
Because the Vela is the tongue of the slave.
Do you think that's what the Marami Rutenberg is saying? I don't know.
Might be.
It's a funny kind of thing because we're introducing elements here that, you know, that were omitted from the text, if you know what I'm saying. You know, like, it's a matantim asalev, David, I'm not trying to be dofi bakash. I think it's a good logical reason, but I find it hard-pressed here. In other words, it seems to me that Marami Rutenberg is only saying that there's no reason to push for Nevela and prefer Nevela over Shchuta if we don't hold from Dechuya, meaning if we hold from Dechuya, I can give you a clear answer to your question. According to that man, the Omar, you certainly have to choose the Kal, and that's Nevela. If we don't have Dechuya, then we're not pressed to choose Nevela as a preferable option over Shchuta, because everything is sort of equal. But I don't know if I should prefer Shchuta. So I'm tempted to think that the Maram Mi-Rutenberg is not telling me that I should shech the animal. He's telling me do whatever is best for the situation. There's an urgent situation. Do whatever you can because Hutra. However, if you would maintain Dechuya, then I have a definite answer. Then you have to put Shechita on the back burners, and you have to prefer feeding him Nevela. And the reason for that is because Nevela vis-a-vis Shechita is Kal. Okay. Now, how do we paskin on this very issue regarding Dechuya or Hutra? How do we understand that so many issues of Chil Shabbos for the sake of a Cholah hinge on this very fundamental question? The Rambam, you'll see it here on the bottom right of your page 3 in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Aleph, is absolutely as explicit as you possibly can be. Dechuya hi Shabbos Eitzel Sakonas Nefoshes. So the Rambam clearly accepts the principle of Dechuya. What's interesting is that this doesn't really surprise us, because the source in Shas The original source in Shas for the concept of Dechuya is not here, neither in Yuma nor in Shabbos. Obviously, the Rashba introduces this concept here in Shabbos, but that's not where it appears in Shas. Where it appears in Shas is actually in the laws of Kodshim. And you know that a Tameh is not allowed to eat Kodshim, a Kohen Tameh is not allowed to do the Avodah. However, what happens in a case where there is no other option? And that means that the only possibility of achieving this Avodah, if, let's say, for example, the entire Tzibur is Tamei, whatever the case may be, then what do? We have to be Matir, or be Doche, that's the issue, the Iser Tumah with regard to Karbonos. And the question is it Hutra or is it Dechuya? So if you take a look in Yuma Daf Vav Amud Beis on the previous page, Rashi says that what does Dechuya mean? Dechuya means Afal Pi Shahakarbon is Doche Oso, in other words, we could be Doche Tuma for the sake of this Karbon, the Koshi Hutra. It's not really okay. I mean, if we have no choice, we'll have to do it. But v'lav heter gomer, it's not a complete heter. That's called dechuya. V'chol mashe d'motzinu la'dure, as much of an effort as we can extend, says Rashi, in order to avoid tuma, ma'adrinon, she'yase betara. And therefore, the nafkemina, says the Gemara, is does the Kohen, who is serving in a different base of, it's not really his responsibility vis-a-vis this carbon, but he's tar. Do we have to get a hold of that Kohen? And this base of is going to have to remove themselves from this mitzvah that's incumbent upon them because they're all tmeim. And the Rambam paskins with regard to tumah that it's dechuya, and therefore it doesn't surprise us that here too in Shabbos he should apply the principle of dechuya. I'm not saying that, you know, it's all one package deal, but what it means is that when the Torah has to overlook a certain prohibition, the Torah is saying try to do whatever you can, exert all the energies that you possibly can, stand on your head in order to minimize the damage, do damage control. That's called dechuya, is bekoshi hutra. That's the language of Rashi in the sugya of Karbonos. And if you take a look in the Rashba and the Ran, all of whom are quoted here in the Mishnah, in the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam, also quoted in the Beis Yosef, which is in the bottom left, they are of the opinion that pikuach nefesh dechuya hi etzel hashabbos. So we have now the Rambam, and we have the Rashba, and we have the Ran, and they all maintain dechuya. The Shulchan Aruch definitely seems to have adopted that approach. I'm sorry, just the opposite. The Ramah, I should say. And now we're going back to page 4. The Ramah says, Yesh Omrim, Dim Efshol Lasos Below Lidchos, if we can somehow circumvent the need to be Docha to override the Shabbos, Ubelo Ichur, without further endangering the life of the Chola. And he gives the example, Al Yidei Shinui, Al Yidei Goy. Is that's what you have to do. Osim b'shinui osim al yidei eino yehudi. After quoting this opinion of the Yesh Omrim, he says v'chein nagin. That's how we accept the halacha. Avol b'makom d'yesh lachu sheyis atzel ha'eino yehudi. If there's any shadow of a doubt that maybe the eino yehudi will take his time, is ein lasoso al yidei eino yehudi. So basically, the opinion of the Rambam And the Rashba, the Ran, finds its expression here in the Psak of the Ramah. Keep in mind that the Shulchan Aruch himself completely omits this whole paragraph here. All the Shulchan Aruch has to say is Kishemachalim, Shabbos is Mishtadlim Shalola Soso Al Yidei Eino Yehudi or Katan Ela Al Yidei Yisrael. There's no Dechuya here, there's Hutra. That's the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. So we have here the Shulchan Aruch against the Minhag quoted by the Ramah. Shulchan Aruch maintains Hutra, let the Jew do it, don't start even dreaming about a guy or any of that. Shinui, forget about Shinui. Whereas the Ramah maintains Dechuya. Now, there's a very fascinating article here that I found in the olamot.net. It's on page 10, if you get a chance to read it. And it's authored by Rav Weiss, what's his name? Usher Zelig Weiss. And he goes through all the nafkaminas between Hutra and Dechuya. For example, what we find is something similar in Rav Moshe Feinstein's Tshuva, which is on page 6. And I know it's getting late, so I'll just end with this. Rav Moshe wants to suggest that a physician should make himself unavailable on Shabbos. Unavailable. Mishtadel shalo, what does he say? Shalo yamtzias atzmo. Veloyia nekel limtzoto. He should be hiding away. And he speaks about medical students who are doing rotations. And he says they should get a Shomer Shabbos rotation. And not only that, he says he should lock himself up. He should lock himself up in his office on Shabbos. I don't know why he's in his office. He's like, okay, fine. And then he says, Lo Yisa Imo telephone. Sheyuklu Limtzolto. He shouldn't be carrying a phone because they'll catch. I think, again, I tried to push this into the language of Rav Moshe. I wasn't successful in doing so. But I think Rav Moshe is referring to a case where his associates are non-Jews.
In America.
Yeah, in America.
Why can't you say that he can't differentiate between a Jew and a goy? That's what Rav Moshe is talking about.
Meaning what? No, I'm asking the following question, Joe. Maybe you're answering my question, but let me ask my question because I didn't understand your answer. Let's say it's me, I'm a physician, and it's you, you're a physician. I don't know, Joe, if you ever dreamt of going to medical school. I didn't. But let's say you did. So we both went to medical school. Of course, you passed first in the class. And now, I'm not going to answer my phone. Why? Because they're going to call you up. Does that make any sense?
But what I'm saying is that Rav Moshe is saying it for the doctor because he's got to go. He might have to use this. He has this heter, but he's in a situation where he might have to use it for a non-Jew.
Oh, I see. Because maybe the chol is a non-Jew.
That's right.
Right. Okay. But I'm just wondering, Joe. Could you imagine the following scenario? All the patients are non-Jews, and all the doctors are Jews. Blue you too. Would Rav Moshe still say I should shut off my phone? Somebody's going to have to be Michal Shabbos here, you know. So let the other Jew do it, you know what I'm saying? And I've heard people tell me that if the other guy is not frum, then it's okay. And I think that's Bubba Meister. I think that's absolutely antithetical to Allah. Yeah, David?
The Russian is true, where he specifically said Mishameva,
so he's saying he's make yourself unavailable.
No, Mishameva, you have to say the voice.
Exactly, that's why he's going
to
have.
Yeah, no, Rav Moshe is not denying, David, that you're going to have to violate the Shabbos for a guy. But try to avoid it as much as you can.
Alright.
I'm just saying.
You try to avoid it, though, because they have also. That's why I don't think.
Say it again, you try to avoid it?
You try to avoid it, and everybody knows you try to avoid it. That's because they have also.
Oh, maybe. No, I don't know. Well, you know what, David? That depends upon Canada versus America, maybe. I don't know. I'm just joking with you. In America, if you tell your associates that every week your day off is on Shabbos, I'll cover Sunday for you, it's not going to cause any eva. You follow my saying?
I understand.
I'm assuming it's the same in Canada. I don't know. I hope.
every day is off usually with these people.
Yeah, it's Canada Day, right? Anyway, all right. So what do I want to say now? You know, we ran out of time, but if I had more time, I would tell you that there's an amazing tshuva from the Divrei Yitziv. I think I've quoted him in the past, and he was the Kleisenberger Rebbe who survived the Holocaust. And it would really be kedai if I gave you already the homework of reading page 10, which is the Minchas Osher. If I could add to your homework list to take a look at page 7, a beautiful tshuva here, and he's talking about whether or not a woman who's pregnant should find herself on Shabbos somewhere near the hospital, and for that matter, a physician who thinks that he might be called, he should sleep near the hospital, pack himself in on Erev Shabbos in order to be Moneach Chil Shabbos B'Nesiyah. And he tells us in his tshuva, but this is less impressive. He's, you know, this I understood on my own, that it really depends upon the machlokas about hutra dechuya. Meaning, if it's dechuya, as we saw in Rashi, bekoshi hitira, we've got to do whatever we can to minimize chil Shabbos. If it's hutra, who cares, right? But that's not the big chiddush here. The big chiddush here in the tshuva is he says that even according to the Man D'Yomer who says that Shabbos is hutra, he says that only applies if it's a vadai pikuach nefesh. Most of that situations, he says, is safek pikuach nefesh. And in safek pikuach nefesh, he says that everybody agrees to techuya. So, for example, in the case of a woman who's giving birth, that would likely, I'm not saying you know, one way or the other, but likely, I think you'd agree with me, it's likely a safek pikuach nefesh, meaning, you know, she could survive it. I know people who gave birth in a taxi cab, and the cab driver, you know, cut the umbilical cord. So I'm just saying that, assuming your case is only a safek pikuach nefesh, then he says everybody agrees to chuya. So she'll have to take up residence near the hospital because it's only safek pikuach nefesh. Even if it's a vadei pikuach nefesh, he says, do we hold hutra chuya? That's an open-ended question. But here's the bar. He says the following. The machlokes as to whether Shabbos is hutra or dechuya, etzel pikuach nefesh, is only relevant to an isur d'oraisa. But he claims that in the case of an isur d'rabbanon, everybody agrees that Shabbos is hutra, etzel pikuach nefesh. And he has a number of nafkaminas, and Rabosa, it's the first time I ever saw a meshiv who is willing to create a fundamental difference between an Iser d'Oraisa in the case of Shabbos and an Iser d'Rabbanan. As a general rule, fundamentally, again, in Sveikus obviously there are differences, but to say that inherently, fundamentally, there's a difference, I never saw that. Here he's saying there's a fundamental difference with regard to Pikuach Nefesh. And I think what he's saying is, if, again, he doesn't spell it out, that when the Rabbanon instituted their Shvusim on Shabbos and their Isurim, they put a proviso in it. They said, this only applies as an Isur if there's no Pikuach Nefesh. I just was wondering, according to the Divrei Yitziv, what would be if I had Safek Pikuach Nefesh on an Isur Rabbanon? You know, I don't know what he would say about that. Okay, fine.
So according to him, you should ride a few information, you better ride your bicycle and take a car.
Have a good day.
Well, if you have a good day. If, again, David, if you're holding dechuya and there's less of an Iser in riding a bicycle, which I assume then riding a car, then go by bicycle. But again, it's going to take a lot more time, although in New York City traffic, I think you'd be better off with a bicycle.
All right,
Shkoyah. Shkoyah, called too. His final conclusion, by the way, is interesting. He says that if he's going to have to violate Shabbos only with an Iser d'Rabbanan like Amir La'akum or Moloch Shein Tzrichu L'Gufa, meaning if he's not going to violate the Iser d'Oraisa on Shabbos and only an Iser d'Rabbanan, he says that's going to be hutra according to everyone. And in such a case, if he knows that that's the kind of violation he's going to have to implement, then he can avoid, you know, sleeping close on Shabbos and making all these cheshbonos. He writes here that if it's only a suffix, whether or not they'll need to be machal Shabbos, itochen Sheishtaper matzava, it's possible that the chole will improve his situation. Velo yavolidei sakono yoledes, maybe she'll give birth after Shabbos, is poshut in all those cases of safek that ain't tzarech linsoa me'erev Shabbos. And why is that? Because if it's a case of safek pikuach nefesh, then you don't have to do all this ishtadlus to avoid any sort of violation of the Shabbos, because there may be a violation of the Shabbos, there may be a pikuach nefesh situation. So therefore, in soab Erev Shabbos, to get there on Erev Shabbos, because of the chashash of a safekul Shabbos, that, he says, is not necessary. He writes that the Shuas Yaakov has a tshuva of he says, just punfaket, this is a sort of a counterintuitive. He says if he shows how he's going to the ends of the world in order to avoid Chol Shabbos, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing halachically, because people are going to begin to think that, you know, the last thing we want to do is violate Shabbos. We have to do everything to avoid Chil Shabbos, even though it's Pikuach Nefesh, that we shouldn't do. So that's something that pays to really go through this with a fine tooth comb. Then there's a discussion in Poskim, and again the Minchas Asher touches on this too. What happens about a Chole that his situation of sakana comes into existence at the very end of Shabbos? We can wait till Motzi Shabbos without any loss. Are we allowed to violate the Shabbos? Should we violate the Shabbos? Or should we simply push off the Chol Shabbos until after Shabbos? And again, he sees this as a nafkamina between Hutra and Dechuya, which, as we said earlier, is a machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah. Then he raises a question here. He quotes some achronim, which he rejects, that hold that the issue of Hutra Dechuya is a specific Shabbos issue. And it could be that with regard to Shabbos, I have a concept called Hutra, and that's called Lohutar, which is Lohutar Pikuach Nefesh Ela B'Shabbos Bulvat, which means that in Shari Surim there's no Hutra, there's only Dechuya. He goes ahead and he rejects this. You can take a look on page 11. If with regard to Chil Shabbos for a Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana, if we prevent the Chil Shabbos, then there won't be any Sakana. That's a discussion of a Sugyan Shabbos. Omer Ramam Nuna, Dover She'en Bo Sakana, Omer Lenochri V'ose. Rashi says, Chola Shim Lo Yasu Lo Refua Zu, Eino Mesukan Lomus. Then we can invite a Goy. The implication is that in general it's Hutra, but if it's a, you know, some sort of administering help to the Chola that is not absolutely critical to save his life, that would already come under a different halacha of Dechuya. All right, we'll stop here. Thanks.